You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Nebraska. You can learn more about Concordia University, Nebraska by visiting cune.edu. Joining us today, the Reverend Dr. Ross Shaver, serving the Lord in the Dominican Republic as a church planter and theological educator. Dr. Shaver, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
We are looking forward to learning about a topic that is near and dear to you, I know, the topic of house blessings, which typically is associated with the season of Epiphany in many traditions. We're now in the season of Advent leading up to Christmas, but gives us plenty of time to prepare for the season of Epiphany and talk about house blessings today. From your experience, what is a house blessing?
Yeah, so a house blessing is really a rite in the Christian church, a tradition that recognizes the Christian home as the place where the Christian family lives under God's care and benediction. It's an act of faith in which the home is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. You know, but it's more than that as well. It's the bestowal and the reception of God's good word, a blessing, usually spoken by the pastor, received by the family in faith. And so in a sense as well, it's a cleansing of sin and unrighteousness, an exorcism of sorts of evil and invoking God's presence in the home. So in other words, an application of the deliverance of Christ crucified and risen for sinners by means of the word of God and prayer.
Tell us about your first experience with a house blessing.
Yeah, so this is an interesting story to me. I didn't realize what it was at the time, but when I was taking confirmation classes at the time, I was probably about 13 years old, and my pastor had a rule that the confirmation students had to go along with him to visits and visitation on usually the homebound members of the church. And so it was one of the times when I had gone with my pastor over to a church member's home, and he was doing a devotion of sorts, and again, without realizing really what had happened, he sort of slipped into a house blessing, and he did this. We moved around the house a little bit, room to room, and prayed, read scripture passages, and asked that God would bless and protect the person who lived there in that home. Again, it wasn't until really years later, probably until I was in seminary or even afterwards, where I realized what that really was and what was happening at that time. And so that kind of got my interest piqued in to learn more about this, the practice and the history of what we can do here.
Tell us about this tradition in Latin America. Do house blessings have a long history in Latin America?
Yes. In fact, they do. It's a very common occurrence down here. Been part of the tradition of a lot of different Latinos in several different countries, and a very familiar rite and ritual of the Christian church as well. It's gone on a long time in various different aspects and ways, usually connected with the Christian church. And again, typically during the season of Epiphany is when it is most common and familiar to the people here.
So how has it become a part of your life and your service in Latin America?
Well, it's again, something that's near and dear to my heart and something that I had a lot of experience with in the United States. That's what my doctoral degree focuses on this as well. And so when I arrived here and learned that this was a familiar practice, albeit there are some various differences in what people may be familiar with, it was a very easy and comfortable thing to slip into and to talk to people about, common ground, as it were. As well as it's just been a wonderful reason for, as a pastor, to come and visit both the members of my church, but also provide a reason to go and visit those in the community who may not know Christ, right? Opens up a door to say, I would like to come and possibly do a blessing of you and your family and of your home. So it opens these doors, both literally, but also figuratively, to be able to have a conversation about the gospel and who Christ is, the salvation that we have in him, but as well as kind of more directly tying in, you know, what does it mean to hear, to receive God's blessings? What does the role of faith have to do with that? And how is that lived out every day in our lives in this space that is kind of the most personal, most intimate space in which we live?
Are there scriptural foundations for the house blessing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first of all, there is no command in Scripture for a house blessing. So we will not find, if we look, we will not find something like God saying, this is something that you need to do, right? He doesn't command the church to do this. Jesus does not give this command. At the same time, there is a scriptural foundation for this. It is a very ancient practice, and it's one that goes all the way, really all the way back into the Old Testament. We have instances, a type of this. You could think even going back into the Garden of Eden, right? So the first home where God blesses Adam and Eve, both in their relationship as husband and as wife, but gives them the command as well to be fruitful, to multiply, and to have dominion over all creation. So you see a blessing in that kind of sense right from the beginning. But also you have other aspects. So you have things like in Leviticus chapter 14, while not specifically talking about a house blessing, it's really more speaking about good sanitation. This is a part of Scripture where it says, you know, if there's mold or mildew in the house, this is how it is cleaned out. But there's undertones here as well of what does it mean to be clean and unclean, what is common and what is holy, and a rite and a ritual in which evil and what is bad is cleansed from the home and then replaced by what is good. And so you have some of the beginnings there. You also have in Deuteronomy 6, right after a very famous passage of the great Shema, you have God speaking to his people, and he says, these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. When you lie down, when you rise, you shall bind them as signs on your hands. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. So here you have visual reminders of the word of God being inscribed on the house as a reminder of God's presence and God's promise to be with his people. Several psalms speak of similar things as well. Probably one of my favorites, Psalm 1, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. So you have this kind of foundational scripture of God needs to be involved in the establishing of the Christian home and of the house. But probably most clearly, you could see this in Jesus' actions as well. Jesus deliberately enters the unclean homes of sinners. He does this repeatedly. He dines with them. I mean, we think of Matthew, the tax collector in Matthew chapter 9, Simon the leper in Matthew 26, Mark 14. You have Jesus visiting a home of Zacchaeus to bring salvation, right? With a very specific purpose to bring the salvation of Israel to Zacchaeus. And then in Luke chapter 10, where Jesus sends out the 70 or the 72 disciples, so that really is a very key passage in this as well, because he tells his disciples to go out. And as they are going around, when they enter into a house, they are to say, be to this house. And that in itself is a blessing, right? Bestowing God's peace. And Jesus continues, if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And so there you have God's blessing being bestowed and then being received or rejected based on faith in that word of God that these disciples have come to bring into the house. So these, as well as some others, really lay the foundation of what a house blessing is and why we do these sorts of things. But probably the most clear, as well as with the tradition within the Christian church, particularly during the Epiphany season, is in connection with the Magi. That as the Magi come and Jesus is newborn, he is there dwelling in a house with Mary and Joseph. And the Magi come and find him there. And as they do so, they kneel down and they worship him and they give him those gifts. But that in itself draws this connection that as Jesus is found in the house by the Magi, so that Jesus might be found in our houses as well by whoever would enter in these places.
We've talked about the scriptural foundation and the traditions as well. Any insights from the Lutheran confessions regarding a blessing of our homes or dwelling places?
You know, there's really not a lot to be said in the confessions about this. And this is really one of the interesting things about this. Historically, there's not a lot of mention about house blessings. And that in itself actually speaks quite a bit. It's a very ancient tradition, has always been a tradition within the Lutheran faith and tradition as well in different countries, but it never really was controversial. And the closest connection shows up in formula as well as in the small called articles, where there is some criticism against the Roman Catholic Church and the baptism of bells. At that time, especially in the Roman Catholic Church in medieval times, the Roman Catholic Church basically was baptizing everything and blessing everything, and kind of took this to an extreme, and as well as confused, you know, what is the theology of what does a blessing do, as well as kind of confusing in their minds what a sacrament is or sacramentals and that sort of thing. So there are some instances where that sort of thing is spoken against, but not specifically in connection to the house blessing, just more as a safeguard against a superstition or treating the word of God as magic and that sort of thing, or a good luck charm, as it could be.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Ross Shaver, serves the Lord in the Dominican Republic as a church planter and theological educator, talking about the tradition of house blessings. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment right here on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Are you looking to gain practical insights and spiritual encouragement in a format that fits your life? Discover the treasures of Christ-centered learning with Concordia University, Nebraska. Utilizing an online, self-paced learning platform, Concordia Nebraska's new Studia Vitae program will offer a non-credit continuing education courses featuring lifelong learning opportunities in a variety of focused areas. Courses begin in January 2026 and registration opens soon. Learn more at cune.edu/CEU. That's cune.edu/CEU.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We're talking about the tradition of house blessings today with Reverend Dr. Ross Shaver. He serves the Lord in the Dominican Republic as a church planter and theological educator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. So we've talked about the tradition, a bit of the history, and some of your first experience with house blessings, and the tradition being associated with the season of Epiphany, and that the scriptural foundation for this as well. Pastor, why request a house blessing from your pastor? If you weren't a pastor, or maybe as a pastor, you might request it of one of your fellow pastors, but why request a house blessing from your pastor?
Well, because the Lord loves to bless his people. Right? And he wishes to be present in every aspect of their lives. And as the Christian home, it is kind of the foundation for our life together and is the place where our primary Christian vocations are lived out as husband and wife, parents and children, friends are welcomed, and that sort of thing. This is where it really begins and where we learn what does it mean to be a Christian, and what does that look like in relationship and service and in love towards those that are most close to us, such our family. And so as such, we do, I think, a fantastic job of providing a lot of resources for home devotions, creating a home altar, maybe learning how to pray together as a family. But a house blessing is even more of a foundational aspect, right, of setting the space and the people aright, kind of orientating our lives towards Christ and asking that God would bless both the space as well as the people who live there, and bless that to provide his good word, his presence, his protection, so that these things, this Christian life, may be lived out with a good and a clear conscience, and to be reminded that Christ has actually come for this reason. As Christ sent his disciples out to go into these homes to announce the peace of God into these people's lives, it's for this reason that Christ has come. to seek, to save the lost, to take the uncleanliness of sin upon himself, cleansing us from all unrighteousness, delivering us by his gracious presence, which then he connects us to his holiness and to his righteousness. So asking, inviting your pastor to come in and provide a house blessing for you is inviting Christ into your home, is saying, we want Christ's presence here. We need help. We recognize that the devil doesn't like what we're doing here either, and our own sinful flesh and the sinful world try to invade this space. And we need God's blessing, both again as protection, but also kind of just set the scene in an appropriate way so that we may live out these lives of holiness and righteousness and faith in Christ and love towards others. And as such, not only should the members of a church request this of their pastors, but pastors should also offer this to their congregations, because that's part of the reason why we are here, is to deliver the blessing of God, to deliver his word to God's people. And that doesn't just happen in Sunday mornings in church, but that's something that can and should happen throughout the week. And so pastors can come visit these members of their churches within their homes and announce God's grace, his favor, his blessing, and his protection among his people.
So what happens during a house blessing? Can you walk us through an example of what might happen if I requested my pastor to come to my home and do a house blessing? What would that look like?
Yeah, great question. So we actually do have a rite, and we usually have had rites in several of our agendas that Lutheran pastors and churches usually have. And the normal layperson doesn't often see these, but they contain all these extra rites, ceremonies that exist within the church. So we actually have one of these rites in our agenda book. And basically, as the Bible says, that everything is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Basically, that's what a house blessing is. It's just the application of the word of God and prayer. So as it begins, a pastor will come over. Sometimes he may vest. And that was a practice that I like to do as well, because it connects again what's going on in Sunday morning to the Christian home, but also reminds the people in a very visual and tangible way that the pastor is not there on his own authority, but he is there to represent Christ, to bring Christ's word and forgiveness and life and salvation to bear in the lives of his people. So as the pastor then starts, he starts with these words that Christ told his disciples to start with, comes into the home and says, peace be to this home. Then there's reading of several scripture readings, depending on the time of the year. Psalm 121, very familiar psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? Right, that psalm is usually spoken, read at the beginning. If it's in the season of Epiphanies, there's some optional readings as well, most particularly in this instance, the Magnificat, the Song of Mary. After the reading of a psalm, there's several other Bible passages, usually highlighting Jesus in the home of people. So we have a couple of options that could be used from Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus talks about the contrast, the difference between a wise man who builds his house upon the rock and the one that builds his house on the sand. And that's what we're seeking to do, to build that Christian home upon the rock that is Christ. We have a reading from Luke 10, the story of Mary and Martha when Jesus enters their home and speaks with them. From John chapter 1, where the word becomes flesh and dwells with his people, again, the presence of Christ with his people. And then if it's during the season of Epiphany, a reading of Matthew chapter 2, the story of the Magi coming and visiting the infant Jesus. Then there's a hymn I love to sing, and so I always sing this hymn. We have a wonderful hymn in the Lutheran service book. It's number 862, O Blessed the House, Whatever Befall. So I'd often sing this hymn. And then after that, we go around from room to room, and with a reading, a specific Bible passage and prayer over that room. So for instance, there's one for a living room, for the entrance of the home, for bedrooms, a study or an office, a family room, and a kitchen and a dining room. So it's just a movement through the house, again, reading Bible passages. I always like to have people within the household read those Bible passages, and then I would pray. And then at the end of that, we join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. Then a final blessing, a final prayer and blessing, asking that God would bless and sanctify the home, its occupants and possessions, to drive from here the snares of the evil one and to send God's holy angel to guard, protect, visit, and defend all who dwell in this home. And then end with a benediction and maybe another hymn as well. I like to end with singing, "Now Thank We All Our God," or maybe with the common doxology. And that's about it. So it's not very long, maybe takes 15 minutes to walk room to room throughout the house, reading God's word and asking God's blessing upon the various rooms and lives of God's people.
Are there any other traditions associated with it? Like, to me, it sounds like a great time to, like, I don't know, have some food together as a family if your pastor's in your home.
Right. So I think that's entirely appropriate. So usually, in my experience, this isn't just the pastor swooping into the house for 15 minutes and then leaving, but it provides a time for conversation, for further prayer as well. Oftentimes, pastors only go into somebody's home when there's a problem, or maybe in a time of great joy, you know, a baby is born, a baptism, a marriage, something like that. But for a lot of us, right, when life is just going well, we don't always have the pastor come over into our house. So this provides an opportunity just to sit and visit, for people to get to know the pastor, for the pastor to know the people. You can invite friends. So oftentimes you do the house blessing, yes, and then share a meal together, which I feel is entirely appropriate. There's also one other tradition. It's an ancient tradition, not very common in the Lutheran church, and it doesn't exist in our current rites, but it's called the chalking of the doors. And it goes back to that Deuteronomy passage that I read earlier about writing the scripture on the doorpost. And this is a very, very ancient tradition where on the lintel, the top of the house, you would write in chalk, if possible, the year. So for example, in 2026, you'd write the number 20 on the other side of the door, write 26. And then in between, divided by crosses, you would write the letters CMB, which in Latin stands for Christus Mansionem Benedicat, or Christ bless this house. Or it could also be the initials for the Magi, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. But it's just a visual reminder that God is present, Christ is there in the home, and that he has come to bless. In the same way that we hang a cross up in our house, or maybe a picture of Jesus, just that visual reminder, Christ is there, and he is here with his blessing and with his comfort and peace.
I'm glad you mentioned that chalking of the door. I was going to ask about that. That's the thing visually that always shows up on social media around Epiphany of people doing the chalking of the door. I love that, the symbolism of that, being able to look at that when you're going in and out of your house. So we've talked about some of the symbolism. What is this not? I think you mentioned that this is not superstitious. Can you talk a little bit more about like maybe leaning away from the magic or good luck thing that people might pull from this?
Right. So that's one of the dangers, especially down here in Latin America as well. People love to have the holy man come into their home and speak these magical words, and then all of a sudden think that their problems will all go away. That's just not the Christian life, and that's not the word of God. We do know that the word of God, it is powerful and effective, right? That God's word bestows what it says, but also that must be received in faith. And so we do have to guard ourselves. This is not some sort of good luck charm or magical incantation that we can do. It's not speaking some sort of magic spell over the house that would somehow prevent something evil from entering. But again, in much the same way as any of God's blessings, it is God's good word that is applied to this place. And so we do have to be on guard against superstitions. And we all have our own little pet superstitions that we have. And we can bring the word of God to bear against those as well, to say this is, the word of God is effective. It is powerful. And things are sanctified. And people are sanctified by the word of God in prayer, not in a magical way, but by virtue of faith, as we receive God's promise and blessings, as faith in Christ, we have the assurance and the hope that Christ truly is present that he really is working and caring and protecting, guarding his people from all harm, from danger, and from the snares of the devil. And so we rest and we trust in God's promise and in God's word.
Anything else you'd like for us to know or to consider in preparation for the season of Epiphany and maybe introducing this as a tradition in our own homes?
Well, once again, I think this is a wonderful tradition. Epiphany is a traditional time of the year to do it. It's a wonderful, wonderful time. Also sandwiched, it's a little easier sometimes for pastors in between Advent and Christmas and the beginning of Lent and then Easter. So people in your churches, invite your pastor over. Tell them that you want God's blessing and you want him to come over for this purpose. Pastors are extremely happy and honored because that's part of the reason why we're here. That's why we are your pastor, is to bring God's word to bear. So invite your pastor. But if Epiphany doesn't work, you can do this any time of the year. When you enter, when you buy a new home, when you move, when you remodel, some cause for joy, a birth of a baby, an addition to the family, whatever it may be, or in the case of something bad happening. You know, we can't sleep well at night because a break-in occurred, something like this, or some other sin occurred in the home. The pastor wants to help. The pastor wants to bring God's word to bear in the lives of those under his spiritual care. And so both people, invite your pastor to come, and pastors, don't wait for the invitation. Offer this to your people so that they too may receive God's blessing in their home, because we know, we believe, we confess that Christ desires to be present in the lives of his people and to bless his people.
Guest today, the Reverend Dr. Ross Shaver, serving the Lord in the Dominican Republic as church planter and theological educator with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Shaver, thank you so much for sharing this story and this tradition with us.
It's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.